This is Tim Roy, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What up, Tim?
Tim Roy.
Year 31. Not Steph Curry, but Seth Curry. You're 31 for the Warriors, 36 in the NBA.
Tim, I used to be a network coordinator for the Warriors.
Really?
Yeah, I ran Warrior games in 2014. Actually, the first game I ever ran was a Clipper game on Christmas Day. With very minimal training, and I was sweating bullets, man. I didn't record scenes. It was a lot.
And working on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, right? So then 2015, when the Warriors beat Memphis, game six of that Western Conference semifinal, I remember down the line, I was like, Tim, I can't believe this. The Warriors are going to the Western Conference Finals. This is unreal. He goes, you know, Bonte, I feel like we're entering the golden era of Golden State Warriors basketball.
Mm.
And four championships later, Tim was not wrong.
No, and like he's done so many games when the team was bad. Like I had this theory that sometimes the people who grew up with, you know, without, I'm like, maybe it's like emotional support, it could be financial support. Those people appreciate it when they see it because they know what it's like to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you grow up without, you know, feeling love, the moment you're in a relationship where it's real, you're like, oh, that I've never had that before. That's something. Tim Roy, it's the same with sports.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like to have nothing.
Yes.
And when he sees this kind of team, I 100% believe that. He was looking at the Warriors going, oh, this ain't what it used to be.
No.
This ain't what it used to be at all.
Even Fitz, right? You think about Fitz, Tim and Fitz, who obviously had the honor last month at Chase Center. They honored both of them for having 30-plus years with this organization. There's a lot of bad basketball they had to call. A lot. And think about all the tough times of being on the radio and trying to sell optimism. And not really sell it, but try to be optimistic about the roster when you know this team ain't winning nothing but 20 games. Damn, who's going to get traded next? What draft pick are they going to blunder? I mean, are they going to just blow, I should say. So, yes, they know what bad basketball is, and they appreciate the good basketball, knowing that this don't happen everywhere. What the Warriors went through over the last decade and still trying to fight and have another shot at a title or at least have a shot at the dance? Yeah, this has been going on since 2012, basically, Evan. We're now in 2026.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to make a run here. So, Tim, Fitz, and a lot of people who've covered this team for a long, long time, yeah, we know what it's like to lose. We know what it's like to watch bad basketball.
And I think in a kind of a more micro sense, I think that's why a lot of people are also appreciating what the Niners are doing because of last season, because of all they've overcome. And obviously, we'll focus on that game coming up a little bit. We got an hour away from Softy Mahler.
Oh, this is flying.
He's going to be on our he's going to be with us at 1 o'clock. Does Sports Talk Radio in Seattle. I guess to run his mouth a little bit, so I know that you and Softy are going to have a good conversation.
Evan, real quick, he just texted me. He goes, did you say noon or 1 p.m.? I forgot. It's like 1 p.m.
1
I'm
o'clock.
Old, man. I can't remember nothing.
No.
I'm paraphrasing there.
But up until then, I do want to talk Dubs because Steve Kerr gave us, I mean, really the news of the day. The big three is going to be out. You mentioned De'Anthony Melton also off for this game. That's on the latest injury report. They got the defending champs in town, OKC. Yep. And while they've been sputtering by their first 28 game standard, they're still a very, very good basketball team. So the question to me about tonight is, well, what do? Do you play everyone? Do you give some guys that haven't been getting rope more opportunities? I think tonight Jonathan Kuminga is going to start for the Warriors because something that Steve Kerr told, I think it was Willard and Dibbs last week, but he's talked about it at the podium is, and it comes off, I think, a little strange, but I understand, B. Kuminga is a big minutes player.
Yep.
He's a player who has to be out there for longer than 20 to 25 in order to get his rhythm. And from what the numbers have shown through his first 4-plus seasons, in order to be a productive player. So I do think that tonight is an opportunity with no Butler, no Draymond, not a lot of forwards there to block him from playing. I think Kuminga's, he's going to get some rope tonight, and I'm excited.
I would say that about most players, though, Evan, that they need time to get a rhythm. And you look at the Charlotte game, for example. Those guys played heavy minutes. Gee, I think, got up to 17 minutes in that basketball game. De'Anthony Melton, obviously, in the 20s. Pods has been in the 20s. So it hasn't just been four-minute bursts for guys like that. Like, I'm pulling up the box score right here. Gee Santo, 17 minutes. Al Horford, 13. GP2 played 10, but he was impactful in those 10 minutes. D'Anthony Melton, 23 minutes. Potts played 23. Will Richard played 17. Now you get 5 from TJD and you get 6 from Pat Spencer. But I think for a lot of NBA players, you need about 15 to 18 minutes to really get into a flow of a basketball game. You get 4, those 4 minutes fly by. Boom, boom, couple fouls, couple possessions, then you're out of there. Then what do you do? Did you even break a sweat? So I would say that's probably important for most players in this league to get more than 4-minute burst and play a lot of minutes. But Jonathan Kuminga, we've seen that, as you just pointed out, and I can recall games in which as the game went along, he'll start rough, couple turnovers, not knowing when to screen, not knowing when to get back on defense. And that's what you know, he's played 29 minutes. You look up, it's like, wow, that was a solid night for Jonathan Kuminga. That has been the case for him over his first 4.5 seasons.
Yeah, and look, that's kind of the way things have unfortunately gone. It's, you know, I think it's especially true for young players, right? You know, you'll see, Buddy Hield, who's fallen out of the rotation. He steps back in against Brooklyn, makes a couple plays for him. Someone like GP2, he's not a guy who, he's going to step and he knows exactly what he's supposed to do in these kinds of games. But for those young guys, I agree with you. And I think that's what's been so hard, not just for JK, but for, Moses Moody.
Yep.
For a couple of other of those young guys that they don't really and haven't figured out where they fit in.
Yep.
And tonight is a night where you don't even have to fit. Like, you just got to go play.
Just go play.
There is no pressure on tonight's game whatsoever. It's obviously against a really great team, but to roll the ball out there and see what happens.
But what Steve told us, right? We asked him the question, you know, what can you learn something from a game like this? What can you learn from your team knowing that the big dogs are out? Steve's like, look, man, create good habits. Play the right way. Not turn the ball over. And this is important for young guys to not only get good film out there, because we don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline, but show that you could be a pro. And that when your number's called, you're ready to roll. That was the impressive thing about Kuminga in the playoffs. His number got called and he was ready to roll. Now, Pat Spencer, he's shown it this year, Evan. When his number's called, he's ready to roll. And he's played well. And a lot of fans want to see more of Pat Spencer. TJD, quietly, over the last couple weeks, has played a lot better. And he's had sporadic minutes over the course of his career. So, what Steve said here, we're going to learn a lot about this team, whether they win or lose. And I'm not trying to take a moral victory, or we don't need to, you know, these are the pros. The moral victories, for the most part, don't matter. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But for young guys who are getting the opportunity to play and put some good film together, a game like tonight is important. This is the perfect barometer. You're playing the Chats. So what better way to gauge your game and see where you're at over the course over your NBA career by playing the champs against SGA and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren saying, you know what? I can hang with these boys.
Well, and you said something there that really has me thinking now, putting good tape together. Jonathan Kuminga is 13 days away from that tape maybe getting him to a place where he wants to be, in a place that wants him. And right now, a place that he hasn't fit so far has been Golden State. Tonight is a showcase game for him. If he gets 30 minutes, which I think he will because there ain't nobody else to take him, Jonathan Kuminga is going to have a chance to use this game to potentially leverage himself, for the Warriors to leverage him if they want to trade him. And it's only 13 days until that becomes a possibility. But we got to hit a break here. I see you, Christian.
Oh, we got a break?
Yeah, I know.
Already?
just a little shorty, man.
Man.
Only 2 hours left. Well,
damn.
An hour and a half, and then we get the crossover.
Then Higgins' budget's already blown out by paying me today to fill in. Well, the last time I host the show in 2026.
That makes one of us. That segment was sponsored by Safeway. Hey, it's the biggest game of the year on Saturday. Tomorrow, you know the place to watch it and hang out. It's going to be with Lorenzo Neal and I at Laughing Monk Brewing right down the street from Levi's Stadium. And, of course, if you're going to the game, a free shuttle back and forth, and all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. Eventbrite link, click it. You're in, you're out. It's awesome. It's a great place to watch the game. Environment, food, drinks, all of it, and you better do it quick because the seats on the shuttle are going fast. Again, Christian, Frank, I see you. We'll get to your calls on the other side. More Warriors talk when we return with Bonte Hill, Evan Giddings, in for Steiny Guru, 95.7 The Game.
This is Moses Moody, and you are listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my favorite player, Moses Moody. That is my favorite player. Evan Giddings and Bonte Hill, in for Steiny and Guru. Yeah, shout out to Moses. I will never say anything bad about you ever again.
He's a great, great guy. Love his family, too. Ronald Moody, the Moodys, just an old soul, very respectful. a pool for guys like Moody. Now, this is a great question on YouTube real quick, Evan.
Yeah.
My boy, Jose Salinas, 90-90. Question for Bonte. Will you watch the Niners game and have assistants give you Warrior stats to talk about tomorrow night? No, man. It's hard for me to fake the funk. I've got to watch it. I've got to watch the game. I can't fake it on television.
Yeah, but let's be honest. You're going to have, like, if you have one, if you were Chameleon, you know, you one eye on one game, one guy on the other, both eyes are going to be on the Niners. Until.
Listen.
It's time for the show,
listen,
you know.
Listen.
Until Bonte sees the bright lights, they come on, him, Festus, Molly, Zena, Karen, all of them. When the bright lights ain't on.
Listen.
What are the Niners doing? Come on.
See, this is where you got to lock in. I think you know this. See, Guru couldn't do it. He couldn't lock in like that. Guru would be distracted.
Hey.
Shasky would be distracted. Spadoni would be distracted. But you have to be able to check all the way out of the game and act like it doesn't even exist. Now, here's the great thing about tomorrow. The Utah Jazz and Warriors tip off at 7 p.m., which means the pregame show will be on NBC Sports Bay Area. Hopefully you still watch at 6 o'clock. So that means from 5 to 6, I can get most of the first half in. Most of the prep will be done by afternoon, so I'll be able to lock in. And then, okay, 6 to 7, you're going to miss a lot, and I'll be looking at the computer during the break, seeing what's going on. And then once the game starts at 7, having YouTube TV, having a live feed, having the ability to rewind plays during the Warriors game, I can lock in on the Niners for that last part of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. So I think I'll be fine tomorrow. I've got a method to my madness.
Now, what if this was a playoff game?
Oh. Well, if this was a playoff game, I wouldn't
be
working.
Know the Niners got one more game after this at least.
Listen. If there is a playoff game, they know I'm not working. That day is off.
Gone.
So they know. And I'm not even calling sick and say, hey, KB, Zeta, somebody pick me up. Laura Britt, where you at?
B's got the bad phone straight to the boss. Sorry, man.
Straight to the boss. Say, you know what time it is, man.
Well, and I guess that's part of it, too. Hey, wild card weekend. Niners off Saturday. Or sorry, Warriors off Saturday. But there's a 5:30 home game against Atlanta on Sunday. So boss might be getting that call depending on the Niners win or lose.
Depending on when the Niners win. But I know how to check out. Once, especially during the regular season, if the Niners are playing, it's like, dang it. Yeah. Then I'm like, you know what? I got a job to do. And there's a lot of Warrior fans who may not like the 49ers, who don't care about the 49ers, and they're locked into Dub Nation. So I got to give Dub Nation everything I got. 100%. Lock in and ignore it. And you know me, I'm a sicko. I watch the games back. I watch old games back all the time. I'm a nerd like that. So we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Well, that was one thing I was actually disappointing is the beginning of the year, you know, I have the play-by-play schedule on the side. I do college sports. And so tonight I knew that I was going to have to do St. Mary's Portland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got the men's broadcast. And so I'm like, damn, you know, ahead 2 weeks ago, I'm like, damn, I want to be at that OKC game. Mm-hmm. I love watching Shea, and I love watching the Warriors do battle with the best of the best. But like you said, sometimes duty calls.
Sometimes duty calls.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Bonte and Evan in for Steiny and Guru talking Dubs with you up until 1 o'clock when Softy Mahler is going to come on and discuss the Niners and Seahawks with us. Let's start with Christian. Christian, who's in Fairfield. Thanks for hanging on, man. What's going on? Happy New Year.
What's up, Christian?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is special for me, Bonte. I play this day. The only swamp we know is on Holloway 19th.
Let's go, baby. Chomp City over there on Holloway, baby. Let's go.
I don't know about that, Christian. Man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Hey, leave that alone. Hey, man, we got 1,500 people strong inside that gym with the oldest shot clock buzzer in the world. But you know what? You come to the swamp, you better bring your A game.
We won a championship when I was there in 93-94.
Oh. Let's go. Let's go.
Went to the Elite Eight.
Let's go. I'm not mad at that.
Chomp, chomp.
Get that banner up there, baby.
We got a banner up there. Yes, sir. Thank you. But I was talking about what you guys kind of were talking about. That's why I called in. He should start pods, Richard, Moody, JK, and Post, because it's a teaching moment. Like you said, it's film. They're going to be at home for 10 games. They're going to have practices. This is a learning time. A measuring stick right there, like you said, the best measuring stick is the best team in the NBA. This is a chance Kerr to coach. He don't have to worry about minutes because everyone's young. Mm-hmm. They can go out there and play, like you said. He can see if J.K. can fill in that role that Jimmy does now, that he lets Jimmy basically cook with the second unit. There's a lot of positive things can come out of this game, whether they win or not, even though it's the pros, we know no moral victories. But this is a big moment right now for the Warriors to develop their young players, which everyone says Kerr can't do. So my eyes are on what Kerr's going to do right now in this moment, because this can be a turning point to keep that momentum going when the veterans come back.
Is that a good point? Good point. Do you believe in that Steve Kerr can't develop young talent?
Thanks for the call, Christian. Yeah, I mean, I not really. Like, I think context matters here.
Right.
And I think the Warriors have had, you know, so we were talking about last segment. All right. Young players struggle when they don't get consistent minutes or lengthy amounts of minutes. When have the Warriors been in a position to offer a young player 25 minutes a night?
Yeah.
Off the bat. Mm-hmm. The only season was 2020. That was the only year. And you saw what that brought you, and that was Jordan Poole. He had a chance to mess up. He had a chance to shoot his way in and out of games. And then he went to the lab the year after, and the year after that, he contributed to a championship. But those seasons don't come across very often when you got a bunch of veterans and you don't have any spots.
Yeah.
Unless it's a young player who really just grabs you and takes off. I mean, even a player who I've been really impressed with this year has been in and out, and that's Will Richard. You know, Will Richard is, God, for the place he was picked in the 50s,
56 overall.
He's been a godsend.
Yep.
But even he's had to fight for minutes, and as much as the last time he was out of the rotation, I was puzzled as to why, he's not going to get 25 minutes on this team.
Yep. Nah, it's a great point. And I was thinking about the championship season, 2021-22. The young player who popped and who was developed was Jordan Poole. Went back down to the G League, came up, and was, you know, one of your 5-6 best players on that roster. Really played well to the point where people thought he should start. Kevon Looney, I would say as a late first-round draft pick, whether the head coach developed, you got a lot of player development coaches like Anthony Vereen, Chris DeMarco, for many, many years. But Kevon Looney developed and became a key piece to your championship team.
Oh, yeah.
In 2021-22. And play big minutes in 2018 and 2019. Remember those Rockets teams running to pick a roll, and they were trying to get Kevon Looney isolated on James Harden and Chris Paul, and Looney held his own. So you got to look beyond the stat sheet and the box score to see Looney's impact as a late first-round draft pick. And when you have a late first-round draft pick, it's a crapshoot. You're not going to get those lottery players that have all types of potential. You got to really scout and really develop and really help those young men out. Those are lottery tickets right there. Like, I know we have to draft lottery, but really when you draft at the bottom of the draft and the bottom of the first round, in the mid-second round, you've got to really do your homework and really help these young players develop. So I would say they have had some young players who have helped win some basketball games. Looney, Poole. Right now, you just mentioned Will Richard. I think Brendan Podziewski, as much heat as he gets, he's helped this team win some games. Now, there's a lot. He drives a lot of people crazy. But Pods has had a good month, and he's helped you win some games. So I don't believe in a total – like, sure, Steve Kerr will love his veterans, Evan. I know I'm long-winded here, but he loves his veterans. But they've helped out some youngsters here because, as you mentioned, it is hard to get 25 minutes as a young player when you have a Steph, Draymond, Clay, so on and so forth.
Well, and also, too, I think this was last week a caller brought this up, and it got me thinking. I thought it was a really good point. It's like a lot of the guys on the first championship team when Steve Kerr was a rookie head coach, they were young.
Yep.
Now, I know Steph was in his sixth season, but Draymond Green was in his third year.
Mm. Who unlocked Draymond Green?
Harrison Barnes was in his second or third year.
That's a great point.
I'm just saying, like,
Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson was 24 years old.
Wow.
You know, so they were already on their way. There's no doubt. You got to give Mark Jackson and his staff a lot of credit for getting them to that point. But three players, Clay, Dre, and Harrison Barnes, who all were a big part of that championship squad, were under the age or at 24.
Mm.
So lately, developing young guys has been kind of a point of contention. But it all started, the dynasty all started because Steve Kerr was able to get the best out of what? Young players.
Wow.
Proven players, former or future Hall of Famers.
You know who else did that? Phil Jackson with the LA Lakers. Go look at the Lakers before Phil Jackson got there with Shaq and Kobe and all those players that they had, all the talent they had. They were getting swept out of the playoffs. Whether it was Utah, San Antonio, they were getting swept. You could say the same thing about Phil in Chicago, right? So, I mean, the whole thing that it's such a great party. Forget Dre was in his third year. He helped unlock Draymond Green, and it took this team to another level. Klay Thompson becoming one of the best two-way guards in the league. And Stephen Curry going into a stratosphere to where he was an up-and-coming superstar to a megastar. So we got to give Steve Kerr credit. As much heat as we give Steve Kerr, and trust me, there's some lineup combinations that drive me crazy. There is. I don't always agree with the handling of Jonathan Kuminga. I'm probably one of the bigger Jonathan Kuminga fans around these parts because I think he does have some talent, and I don't just look away at the Minnesota series. But he has helped develop these players and helped build a winning culture. So as much as we give Steve Kerr his heat, you got to give him some credit, too. The guy can coach.
No doubt. Yeah, and look, this is the last year of his deal, and next year's going to be what it is, but it's not going to take away from a lot of great moments between him and obviously the four championships that he helped bring. All right, let's go to Frank, who's in Atlanta, wants to talk about the Dubs. Frank, what's going on? How you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
I had called about the 49ers, man, because I was hyped about them. But I'll talk Dubs because you guys switch segments on me.
Oh, it's whatever you want,
Frank.
You can
do whatever you want.
It's whatever you want, man.
Feel good Friday, Frank.
I just will say what?
It's a feel good Friday, Frank. Shoot your shot. Niners, okay, Warriors, the floor is yours, baby.
Yeah, it is. Well, I just want to say quick on the Niners. Congratulations, Kyle, Salah, Purdy. They did a wonderful job, man. They did a wonderful job. I think we can win it tomorrow. I think we can do it. Dubs, I don't think – well, this is a scheduled loss, so hopefully guys can go out and play and get some quality minutes for the guys that are going to be here, you know, for the rest of the season, and they can kind of feel their way around and figure out some lineups, some combinations to help. You know, Bonte, I hate to be the one to bring you bad news, but I doubt if J.K. would play. Well, I really do.
Well, listen, real quick. Because there's no Jimmy, there's no Dre, there's no Steph. If he doesn't play tonight, just ship him off, tell him to go home, and and just pack your bags and get ready to go to your next destination. Because if he doesn't play tonight, he ain't never playing again.
And Frank, Kurt did say that he was going to play tonight, right, if that helps.
If he plays more than 10 or 12 minutes, I'd be surprised. He's too valuable of a trade piece because they don't have any other asset. And I just can't see them risk getting him hurt. I just can't see it. No matter, you know, he should have been gone. But, you know, when you start adding up money in the trade machine, Kuminga is the only trade piece we got. So,
I got you, Frank. No, appreciate the call, man. And that was something we were talking about before the show. I was kind of wondering, why he isn't out there and all this and that. Some of it might be keeping him in a glass box, but on a night like tonight, I said it before, and I think this could be a game that's beneficial for both of them.
Yeah,
where Kuminga is able to play against the best of the best, show what he can do, and the Warriors could benefit by having his stock improve to where in a few weeks or a couple weeks, I think they're going to move him, and I think he wants to get out of here. That's just the way that I feel.
Yeah.
And I think that tonight could be a kind of a partnership sort of game where, dude, you're going to play tonight. You can do anything you want in this game. Here's the ball. Take 30 shots. Right. It don't matter.
30 shots. Can you imagine that?
That would be crazy. That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy. No. Look, you know, to say
just
it's my ball.
Just out there chucking.
I haven't played in a few weeks. I got some time. Yeah. I got to make up for lost time. Listen, what if he does ball out? Just looking at it from a content standpoint.
Well,
if he plays well tonight, Oh my gosh!
The entire has an efficient 28.
Who's doing the post game show tonight?
Granny's on tonight.
Granny's on tonight. You imagine Granny's going to take every call about Kuminga. Why hasn't he been playing? Look at what he's done against the Chiefs. Doesn't matter if they get beat by 10. If he goes out there and has 24, 8, 4 dimes, shoots in the 50s from the floor, goes 1-3 from the 3-point line, the cars are going to go crazy about JK. So that's another aspect of this whole situation tonight with Jonathan Kuminga. But yes, to your point, in all seriousness, it can help both parties. The organization, Jonathan Kuminga, put some good tape out there. And also, you have to hope that he doesn't get hurt. And that's something bad, knock on wood there. You would hate for that to happen. You know, you hate to see something catastrophic happen. But you know what? If he does play well, good for both parties. That's a good thing. Because I'm with you. The feeling, I know your feeling is about JK, about, hey, he doesn't want to be here.
It's just personal.
Those are just the facts.
Yeah.
The facts is, you could tell, he doesn't want to be here. And I don't blame him from that aspect, saying, hey, I just want to flourish and help a team win, and I want an opportunity. And the organization and Steve Kerr believes that, hey, he doesn't fit the puzzle. So what the organization did was sign up to this team-friendly deal to where they have the option to trade him. But that feeling, Evan, it's accurate. It's time that ship has sailed with Jonathan Kuminga. And I love JK. I do. I think he's a great kid, but the ship has sailed.
And it's kind of similar to the Minnesota series. Like, you're out of the rotation. You're not playing. All right, somebody's hurt. JK, get in there. And what did he do? He averaged 24 points a game, shot over 50% from the floor in that series, looked pretty good. So it's like, I actually think that if he does play, which I believe he will, odds are he's probably going to be all right. You know. Yeah. And I think you got to give him credit for this. Though he's been out of the rotation, you know, you don't hear him making a stink.
No.
All the stuff that's come out that's been negative about him, in my opinion, has been related to his agent. It's been related to representation. I think he's a good dude.
No,
I think he's just in a tough spot.
Evan, listen, all offseason kind of drove me crazy. If you want to say that he doesn't fit and you don't believe he's a good player, that's all fair. That's fair. If you think he doesn't help a team win, that's fair. But some of the rhetoric I heard this past summer and even early in the season that he's a cancer, that he's a diva, it couldn't be farther from the truth. So when we make up these narratives about players and make up this nonsense about players being cancers and not wanting, it couldn't be farther from the truth when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. The guys, the players love him. Jimmy loves him, I know for sure. He's a good kid. And there's nothing wrong. Like, you want to be great as a broadcaster. If you came out and said, man, I want to be the best. I want to be better than Bob Costas. Now, we may say, well, Evan,
pump the brakes, buddy.
Pump the brakes.
That's Costas.
But we open the show saying, hey, bet on yourself and believe in yourself. Kuminga believes that he could be a great player, but he's never come out and say, hey, I want to be Kobe. He's never said that. Kobe was his favorite player. He wants to impact winning. He has confidence that he can help impact winning. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, and I don't get why people make such a big deal about it.
I mean, probably just because we haven't seen it consistently enough.
Real quick, I see it on YouTube. Evan, sorry to cut you off, but some idiot here on the YouTube chat, let's quit the BS. He turned down $150 million. Again, that's nonsense. The guy was never offered $150 million. He was never offered that. Never. Ever, ever, ever. So I don't even know where that came from, that he was offered $30 million. You imagine if he got offered $30 million a year and he walked into that locker room last season as the second highest paid player on the team. You think JK saying no to that? Like, come on, man. We got to chill with these fake reports.
I just thought of this, but you know what that makes me think? If that was true, which it's not, do you know how bad the Warriors would look right now?
Oh, my God. I know.
Do you know how bad that would reflect on the front office of the Warriors? Everyone's thought about this from the JK side of things, like he's dumb, he's this, he's that. You know how dumb the Warriors would look if they offered Jonathan Kuminga $150 million? That's no disrespect. That's just the facts.
No doubt.
All right.
No doubt.
Let's go to, we got a couple
That's
minutes
crazy
here.
That people still believe that.
I'm with you. Gary's in San Ramon. Gary, what's up, man? How you doing? Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you guys. Always good to hear you, Bonte, man. Enjoy all your work, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. You know what? I tell you what, it's a tough situation. And Steve came on and talked about the missing players tonight. And I got a friend, man, who's been planning to take his two kids to this game, you know, earlier in the year. And now the three bigs are out, according to what Steve said. And that, to me, that's just not right. And, you know, I imagine they'll all make a miraculous recovery for tomorrow night. But it's just just not fair to the fans. And, I'm thinking that if I'm the NBA, I'm finding Joe over this deal. You're talking about the defending champions on a Friday night during the holidays. So I hate to be a Grinch, man, but it's just bad news, guys.
Oh, Gary, well, look, we left the Grinch in 2025. You can't feel a little bit better now in 26?
No, because,
I got you.
It's the ultimate load management deal, you know? And come on, these guys are making a lot of money and the tickets are very expensive. And the kids are going to be disappointed. So that's all I got to say.
I got you. Well, they might be a little bit less at Warriors.com. You can head on over there. That's,
you get to watch Billy and I. Hey, you get to watch Billy and I. Zeta Kate is back in the house.
There we go.
You know, Monty Poole, the Petaluma's finest, Dalton Johnson. We'll still put on a great show. This game will be the game, and we'll see what happens. And then afterwards, we'll have more fun to talk some hoops.
But, like, honestly, and this isn't just me looking at it with the Warriors goggles, but odds are they're going to play hard tonight. And OKC just saw that the big three are out, or big two, however you want to call it. They're probably not going to be playing that hard. Yeah. You know, are the Warriors going to win? I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole. But odds are the Warriors are probably going to play pretty hard tonight. Last time they did, they ended up nearly catching the Thunder
third quarter
that game.
Run. Remember third quarter run? They were down, 20? I want to say 22 or 24 early.
Yep.
And then third quarter, and they roared back.
Planet Pat. All right, what's coming up next on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 20 minutes away from Softy Mall of Seattle, joining us to talk some Seahawks and Niners. Evan Giddings and Bonte Hill in for Steiny and Guru. The Golden State Warriors are back, and you can cheer them on with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles, so it's an easy-to-sip-and-enjoy type of drink. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. And a proud partner of the Golden State Warriors, must be 21. Please drink responsibly. That segment also brought to you by and is Surfside.